And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
And welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren.
I'm Gino.
And I'm Kevin.
And you are talking to guys that are from Queens, but yet we think we know what we're talking about when it comes to sports. You are joining us right now for our fantasy football edition. Right now I have my dog standing on a treadmill, which seems kind of weird. But anyway, that just threw me off for a second. We're going to try to give you a little bit of insight, maybe some, you know, subtle hints, some things to look for as the season's going along. A lot of you probably have already done your draft, but we still want to give you where we think these players are going to be and who you should be watching out for. Kev, any thoughts before we kind of get rolling with it? G, he's not the best color man in the world for anything, folks. Gino, what do you got?
Just some general information. You want to make sure you're watching your bye weeks when you draft. You want to make sure you're on top of your waiver wire as the season's starting. A lot of these guys that are going to come on the waiver wire are week one, week two, week three. That's usually when you're going to find some of these wide receivers, running backs. Watch your injuries. That's another one. You get a running back that's injured, make sure you're going to either get his backup or get a replacement in an acceptable time frame so that you're not lost as the season goes along. And the only other one is just watch your rankings. You know, keep an eye on your rankings as you're going through your draft. Darren?
Yeah, I mean, always, you know, running backs are going to be so crucial because of the injuries. So always have your handcuff. You know, whenever you're sitting there and drafting an elite running back, you should have his backup because you don't want to be outbid or lose the opportunity of having a starting running back and having your competitor have the backup and able to do anything, and able to really kind of hurt you or bury them on their bench and not give you the opportunity to play. I know you had another point, G.
And the other thing when you're going through this is that we're going to go through a couple of guys that we like, don't like, but just keep in mind that this is all based on their average draft position. You know, we may like a guy and not like a guy, but it's really because they're being drafted early and not being drafted early. So just keep that in mind as we kind of go through some of these players. So, Darren?
Yeah, and by all means, tell us how much we suck. Tell us how much you disagree with everything that we say. We just want your feedback. And if you like what you hear, like us on Facebook, like us on Instagram, share our podcast, get that out there because we're looking to have some fun with you guys for a long period of time. So I don't think there's any other way to start with football, Kev, than start off with quarterbacks. And I think you're the guy to give us a little insight on quarterbacks. So why don't you, get us started?
Yeah, so quarterbacks, my philosophy was always unless you really get one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the league, it's almost worth picking some of your other positions, your running backs, your wide receivers, because once you get by and once you get down in that, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth, 10th ranked quarterback, there's not much of a difference. And you can usually get those, you know, fifth, sixth round and make sure you get your strong players in the other positions where you're going to worry about injuries and everything else. So I think the top couple of quarterbacks, of course, number one, I think everybody can pretty much agree on it's probably going to be Josh Allen. Of course, not the best passer in the league, but he's going to put up strong passing numbers. But the difference making for him is the running game. He had 700 yards rushing last year and 6 touchdowns. I think he can probably get even a few more touchdowns this year. But when you're out there and you can rely on your quarterback picking up those extra 5-6 points consistently per week on the ground, that can come into play quite a bit in your battles every week. Two other early round quarterbacks probably should be Pat Mahomes. Of course, nothing needs to be said about him. Everybody knows how great he is. Now, he does lose Tyreek Hill. But I think he's got a little bit more variation in weapons with Juju Smith-Schuster and Valdes-Scantling. He still has Travis Kelce, so I think he's still going to be top-rated. And Justin Herbert led the league in passing last year, 5,000 yards. I think he's only going to get better. I think Joe Burrow, with his weapons, can probably fit right in there in that top four. Then I think you step back a little bit. If you like, the Lamar Jacksons, again, same vein as Allen. Probably gives you more running ability than Allen. But the question with Jackson is always going to be the passing. Is he going to be a strong enough passer? What you see a lot, and I think two quarterbacks that are probably going a little early that I have overrated a little bit are Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. Hurts is still unproven to me. Maybe proves me wrong, but I think he's a little bit overvalued with where his average draft position is. And Kyler Murray, again, just being a little smaller quarterback, you worry about him consistently throwing the ball down the field. You worry about him getting hurt. Any thoughts so far, guys, on those top quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, I'll kick off. I mean, the elites are the elites. Aaron Rodgers still puts up numbers and Brady and stuff like that. I think guys that you can find a little bit down the line a little bit that could really help you. I think Derek Carr and Russell Wilson are guys that may not get drafted as high as some of the others, but they have great receiving cores. And Kirk Cousins could be a 4,500 to 5,000-yard passer this year. I know you had another point, Kev. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That, I asked you the question. You know, like I said, you know, as my philosophy is, you know, when you get into that fifth, sixth round, and when you start seeing, you know, the Bradys, the Prescotts, Stafford, Rodgers, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, you know, nothing wrong with picking those up in the fifth, sixth round. And you can wind up with it, any one of those guys, they're all going to put up similar numbers. So why pick them too early when they can be available at, you know, a decent value there in the sixth round?
G, you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kev's point is very well taken. I agree. If you're not taking one of those top quarterbacks, that you definitely can wait. I mean, just as an example, we didn't mention Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford. These are all guys that are probably going between 8 and 12, maybe 8 and 14 in the normal draft. And any of these players can start on your team with no problem. Most of these leagues are only one quarterback leagues. The only difference I have is I think Jalen Hurts is going to just go off this year. I can see him being the number two quarterback in the league right after Josh Allen this year. But other than that, I think Kev's right on the point. Darren, do you have anything else?
Well, the one guy also that no one has mentioned, Joe Burrow, right? Pretty good. We didn't say a lot about him yet. I mean, he's not one of those three elites. He's not one of those bottom guys. But I put him in there with Carr and above a Carr and Wilson. He's like really, really good. I also think Hurts is a little bit overrated. If I wanted to find a sleeper, could Trevor Lawrence be the guy? He could be a guy that you look for that can, I don't know, just maybe be a lot better in the second year without the disruptance of Urban Meyer. And the one guy I think is really being overvalued in drafts is Trey Lance. I see him getting drafted a lot higher than I would expect. He looked awful in the games that they put him in last year. He might be really good. I have them in the playoffs. I don't know if he's that good. So those would be the things I would look at. Kev?
I agree with you on Trevor Lawrence. I think, you know, second year, obviously you get rid of the Urban Meyer fiasco from last year. You got Doug Peterson as his head coach now, who's, you know, we've seen what he can do with offensive talent around him. So I think Trevor is poised to maybe surprise some people in fantasy this year. Gee?
Yeah, I agree. I think a couple other guys that could surprise and move up the rankings when all said and done by year end, it could be Baker Mayfield, especially if McCaffrey stays on the field all year. It could be Justin Fields, another guy out of nowhere, could really have a decent year. You don't expect much with the Bears, but he could really be a decent fantasy player. And then, of course, the other guy is Tua. It's a big question mark on where he is right now. He's probably about 17, 18 on most draft boards. He could definitely wind up somewhere near 10 by season's end, especially if Tyreek Hill has a great year. So, Darren?
Yeah, I mean, listen, quarterback's the most important position you have. You have to make sure that if you don't get one of the elite three, you got to make sure you have two good ones so you can alternate. You know, guys like Matt Ryan could be someone that helps you. What I would look at is for my second quarterback, is guys that look like they have good playoff matchups. I know it seems early, but look at who's playing who in weeks 15, 16, and 17, because you never know when your starting quarterback or your star has a really bad matchup, and you could have like a pretty decent quarterback that might have a great matchup. So you always want to be prepared as you go forward.
And again, take a look at your bye weeks too for your starting quarterback and make sure that particular bye week, if you want to draft it this way, pick up that backup quarterback that for your fantasy team that has a positive matchup in that bye week for your starting quarterback.
Absolutely. So I guess, G, why don't you tell us what you think in the running game?
Well, I think the elites are pretty deep. Any of these top guys can start on your teams. You know, you got your McCaffrey, as long as he's staying healthy. You got Taylor, Eckler, Henry. You know, we can go on. You got Cook. You got Mixon. I think after that group, that's where it kind of starts getting a little iffy. Do you see Kamara come back and be healthy all year? Is Najee Harris actually healthy? We'll see as the season goes on. You know, DeAndre Swift, is he poised for a big breakout? This whole next group is really good if they're really good. Same thing with Barkley. You don't know if Barkley is going to give you that production. Don't know what that giant offensive line is going to do for him. Couple of guys I like after those top 10, I like Aaron Jones. You know, the loss of Davante Adams means that Rodgers is going to probably be making a lot of dump-off passes to Aaron Jones. I also think in one of the weird places in Green Bay that he doesn't have that huge number one receiver, I think both of his running backs could actually be viable options for you between Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. One of the few times that I actually think that both guys could be good options for you. As you move down that list, a couple of names that jump out, you know, Javonte Williams in Denver. If Melvin Gordon is not going to give you the touches that he gave you last year and Javonte takes over more of those touches, Javonte could move definitely into the top 10 for the season. Travis Etienne, another guy, the guy in Jacksonville. Now he's healthy. We think that Lawrence loves him, so we're going to see what happens. A couple of guys that seem to be getting drafted a lot earlier than we think. David Montgomery seems to be going a little early. Breece Hall seems to be going a little early. I only mentioned J.K. Dobbins because we still don't know about his health, but he seems to be going a lot earlier than a lot of guys think. Once we get past that, you get into the 20s and 30s, just a couple of names I'll mention. Chase Edmonds is out there. Damian Pierce is out there. Antonio Gibson is going to get 2, 3, 4 weeks definitely as the starting running back for the Commanders. He's definitely worth the look. Devin Singletary in Buffalo is going to get touches. They're going to throw him the ball. They're doing it tonight already, so we see it. The one guy I kind of like sneaky that's past the 40 mark is Michael Carter. I don't think the Jets are just going to hand the ball to Breece Hall exclusively, so I think Michael Carter is a good play there. And the only other guy that really just jumps out at me is Rashad Penny always seems to have a good start to the year. What he does after that, we never know. But, you know, especially in the beginning of the season, I could see him coming out in the first 3 weeks having huge, huge numbers. Darren, you have anybody you like or dislike?
Well, the funny thing with running back is, you know, when you're playing fantasy, a couple of things. Number one is when you have a good running back that has a good running quarterback, you lose a lot of 6 points opportunities. So you look at David Montgomery, who I actually like more than you do, G. But if Fields is going to keep the ball close to the goal line, he's going to lose out on a lot of those opportunities. Same thing's going to happen in Philadelphia with Hurts. Same thing might happen in San Francisco with Lance. If you have a quarterback that runs a lot, that running back should not be your primary, you know, running back. Maybe he's your RB2 or your RB3, but not your RB1 because – you're going to lose a lot of opportunities if your quarterback scrambles a lot. Even Atlanta, not that you think a lot of their offense, but if Mariota's running around a lot, it could hurt Cordarrelle Patterson. It used to be Cordarrelle, now it's Cordarrelle. Whatever, I don't know. The other thing I look at when I'm looking at running backs is you have to have four or five on your roster. There's so many injuries. There's so much, turnover in this, and there's so many guys that are talented at this position, and other guys that just get old all of a sudden out of nowhere. Looks like the guy's elite, and then the next year, unless you're Frank Gore, the next year you just got old all of a sudden, and you can't make anybody miss. Guy you didn't mention, and I don't blame you for not, is Saquon Barkley, because you don't know what you're going to get. If Saquon is good, you know, he could be elite, but you just don't know. And a guy that you mentioned more as a hopeful to be good that I think is going to be fantastic this year is Devontae Williams in Denver. I think he's a top five, top six running back. I know a lot of people don't love him. I like him a lot, and I like Josh Jacobs a lot for the reason that they have such good wide receivers that they're not going to be able to focus on him, as much as they have been in the years past. I know Kev had a point and you had a point, G. Which way you want to go first? Go G first.
I like Javonte a lot. I think the big question with him is how much work are they going to give to Melvin Gordon? Because the more work they give to him, the less touches. And a lot of this is just making sure your running back is getting the touches. But it's a good point, though, because I think Javonte could wind up in like the top five next by the end of the year. That's for sure.
Kev? I love him. Kev?
No, the one you stole my thunder. I was shocked that Geno never mentioned Josh Jacobs, guy who ran for 1,200 yards or has the ability to run for 1,200 yards, can catch the ball out of the backfield. Knowing that you've got Davante Adams on that team now, you've got Waller, should open up a lot of lanes for Jacobs. I think he's severely undervalued. When you look at the list here and he's in the 20s ranked, I would draft him a lot higher than that. A handcuff guy, not knowing, the guy like Ezekiel Elliott. Is he healthy? Is he going to be productive? Do you draft a guy like Tony Pollard, who is going to be, nothing special but consistent, and if Elliott goes down, he's going to get the ball plenty.
It's a good point.
And one of the guys who I don't think everybody's mentioned yet, your Chiefs running back, Edwards-Helaire.
Catches the ball.
He catches the ball out of the backfield. They're a pass heavy team. But the fact that he has hands and can catch the ball out of the backfield, if you're in a PPR league, like I think most of them are, he's going to be consistent fantasy running back, I think.
Yeah, and the one guy I would also add is Connor in Arizona. He had a lot of touchdowns last year, even though Murray, it almost makes me contradict myself, but for some strange reason, they didn't have Murray run the ball close to the goal line because of his diminutive stature. He's not long. He's 5'10". So they were giving the ball to Connor, and he kind of really bruised his way through, and I thought he did a pretty good job. And I also like your idea with Michael Carter because he was really good after contact last year. So I don't think that's going to get worse. I only think it's going to improve. And the other sleeper, every time he plays, he gets hurt all the time. Mostert. He averages like 6 yards a pop when he plays. He just doesn't play a lot, but the 4 or 5 weeks you get him, you use him. And Boston Scott, only when they're playing the Giants, if you need somebody, you put him up there. He seems to score 1 or 2 touchdowns every time he plays the Giants. Just one of those things I've noticed over the years. Any other thoughts, closing thoughts, G?
No, I think that's a pretty good list, good and bad, of most of the running backs in the league. So I think we did a pretty good job with that. Darren, you want to head over to the wide receiver rankings?
Yeah, the funny thing about wide receivers is that every team has a WR1. I mean, there's a lot of really good ones. So, like, ranking a top 20 or a top 30, it's difficult. It's going to depend on who you like. To me, the elite wide receiver is going to be Ja'Marr Chase. I know everybody loves Jefferson in the drafts. I just think that Chase is going to go from year one to year two and really be elite. And the thing I remember most about Chase and Jefferson is they were both on the LSU team. And Jefferson was a year older, and Chase was the number one receiver. That's why I give him the nod. I don't mean it in a bad way. Cooper Kupp is amazing. He's always open. You know, Devontae Adams, you figure Carr will be fine with him. Not going to be as accurate as Rodgers, but nobody is. And C.D. Lamb is like that guy that you figure in his second year that also really kind of bursts out. When I look at guys that I think might be a little underrated, I think Mike Williams can really be elite. I think he's going to take the baton from Keenan Allen and really become a true WR1. I think Gabriel Davis's 4 touchdowns against the Chiefs was no fluke. He already has one tonight. I think Gabriel Davis is going to have a monster year. I think Cortland Sutton is going to be, you know, rejuvenated. But I think Jerry Jeudy is going to have a monster year for Denver. I think that he's going to love playing with Russell Wilson, and he's going to run great patterns. He's one of those, that long line of Alabama wide receivers that, you know, that just seem to excel at this level. Guys, I think that are a little bit overrated, and he's not showing it tonight, but I think that Diggs might not be as strong. I think Gabriel Davis will take some targets away from him a little bit. I think that Waddle could have a tougher year because Hill's going to get the ball a little bit more while he was the dominant, you know, target last year. And I think AJ Brown may have trouble because the reality is I don't know how accurate Hurts is going to be. So those would be the guys that I have on the overrated side. My sleepers, guys that no one's really looking at, they're in the mid-30s to 40s. I like Tony on the Giants to become their elite, their number one. I think Tony could have a really solid year. Do I think the Giant offense is going to be great? No. Do I think it can be if Barkley is good, is healthy and good? Yeah. And I think that Tony could become that guy because he is a speedster. I also like KJ Hamler in Denver also. And the reason why I like him is he reminds me so much of Kevin Lockett in Seattle, where Russell Wilson is going to throw him up there and give him a chance for 2 to 3 bombs a game. And if he comes down with one, he's going to put up points. So that's kind of where I would go wide receiver-wise. Kev, what are your thoughts on the wide receiver position?
One guy that I didn't mention yet, and he's going to get a few more targets without Hopkins out there, is Marquise Brown in the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
He's going from a very run-oriented offense in Baltimore, and now he's going out to a team that'll throw the ball around. So I think he's a guy that has tremendous upside. I like a lot of your other sleepers. Gino, you had something?
Yeah, I have a group of guys that I kind of like. They're scattered all over the board. I think DJ Moore set for a breakout year in Carolina. I think Michael Pittman, now he's got Matt Ryan throwing him the ball. I think he's going to be excellent this year. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be good in Detroit. He's a guy you could probably get in the 20s on the wide receiver rankings. Another guy I like is Christian Kirk. He's probably going about 25 to 35. Trevor Lawrence is going to throw him the ball. He's a high volume guy. He's going to get a lot of catches. And then if you get into a couple of later rounds, you know, Drake London, he's going to catch some balls. He's going to catch some balls in Atlanta. Who's throwing the ball may be a question, but he's definitely going to get some balls thrown to him. And then once you get into some multiple team guys, you'll see some of these guys rank a little lower than they should be only because they're the second wide receiver on the team. Darren mentioned one of them before with Gabriel Davis. He's definitely being ranked a lot lower than Stephon Diggs. Another one like that is Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen is going to get you catches. He's going to get you touchdowns. We know Justin Jefferson is a top three wide receiver, but he's definitely in there, and he'll definitely get some balls thrown. Darren, you have any other thoughts?
Well, a couple other guys I look at down the line. Everybody loves Amon St. Brown. I think DJ Shore can have a really good year in Detroit. I think he has been pretty good in Jacksonville under the radar for a few years, and I think it's going to be not a bad wide receiver tandem out there. I also think Jarvis Landry is going to find his way to catching a lot of balls from Jameis Winston. I think he's going to be someone that you can get later. Used to be someone that you thought about really early in a draft because he caught so many balls. Him and Robert Woods were those guys that made 8-9 catches a game. they can both still do that. I still think they both have the opportunity to do that. And I think Smith-Schuster is also another guy that they haven't mentioned yet that could do good things. The guys I worry about, Metcalf in Seattle, great player, very temperamental player. If Geno is not able to get him the ball or Drew Lock when he eventually gets the chance to play, he could fall into a funk. He could become one of those real challenge kind of guys. You know, Bateman is thought of very highly, but the question about Bateman is, you know, is he really that good? We don't know. You know, he's thought of very highly. We just don't know how good he is. And that is also a question mark in my mind. And I agree with you totally on the Thielen thing. And another guy I would throw in that is Allen Robinson as a number two, finally playing with a good quarterback on a good team. Kev, any final thoughts on the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I don't know if he was mentioned yet. Alan Lazard.
No, yeah, another guy I was thinking about as well.
But Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw the ball to somebody. And, you know, 34-year-old Randall Cobb and Sammy Watkins, who feels like he's 40. He's been around so long with so many teams. I know he's only 29. But Lazard would be the guy who's, you know, got the most potential on that team, I think, to step up and be Rodgers' number one option.
Yeah, and we also skipped Mooney, who had a pretty good rapport with Fields last year. So you think that, you know, that Mooney had like a coming out party last year. He actually got more targets than Allen Robinson did as the year went on. So another guy to look at. Again, with wide receivers, you need a lot. You need to have a lot of guys. You get a lot of injuries, a lot of tweaks, a lot of stuff like that, and you want to make sure you're on top of it. Kev, you had another point.
Yeah, one more. As a Jet fan, let me throw Elijah Moore in there.
I like it, too.
There are going to be some who say, oh, you know, with Garrett Wilson, maybe he's going to steal some targets from him. But I think Elijah Moore, when he was healthy and, you know, right in that, you know, weeks, what was that, about 8 through 13 or 14 or something, he was like the second-ranked fantasy wide receiver. I think having the targets like Wilson and like Corey Davis and an improvement at the tight end position opens up the field, and you might get more production from Moore because of that.
And Elijah Moore is a guy you can probably get as your third or fourth wide receiver on your team. He's going in the 30s, the late 30s. So if you can get him as the 38th wide receiver off the board, you already have two or three wide receivers. It's a really good pick. That's a good pick, Kev. I like that.
And also, if you happen to like Wilson, you like Garrett, you think he's going to be any good, you can get him really late as well if you think he's somebody elite. And remember, Gino and I, you know, doing our drafts, we live in the Northeast. So that has a tendency to have Jet fans that will take a guy even earlier than he would be in the rest of the country. Let's be honest. Yeah. Giants and Jets, just like Yankees and Mets, fall in a little earlier here than they do everywhere else. So there could be real opportunities with that. Jake?
Yeah, and another strategy point, and it'll segue right into the other part of this, and that is sometimes you'll look at some of these rankings, and instead of taking one of those lower tier, you know, first group wide receivers, you may opt to go for one of the big tight ends. There's not many of them out there that are big tight ends, but some of the big ones, Kelce and Andrews and Darren Pitts. I know Darren and I both think that Kyle Pitts is going to be fantastic in this league. You know, Waller and Kittle and Schultz, and, you know, those guys can substitute in for your wide receiver two in a lot of cases. You're taking one of those guys instead of a wide receiver two early and still could pay some good dividends, especially if you get one of those and they're outproducing, you know, the 10th and 11th and 12th rated tight ends. So it's just a little strategy point, goes into the tight end part.
Well, listen, while you're on tight ends, who are the guys, who are the sleepers? We all know who the elite are, G, but who are the sleepers? Who are the guys you like? Who do you think you get off the pace?
I think as you start going down, I think Dallas Goedert and Philadelphia probably could have a good year. Dawson Knox. You got Cole Kmet in Chicago. And then as you start going deeper, you know, how much are you going to get out of a guy like Pat Freiermuth in Pittsburgh? We're not sure. But one of the guys that I like, and he's usually in the 12 to 15 range, and that's Irv Smith from Minnesota. You know, Jefferson and Thielen are going to take up a lot of guys. They're going to start double teaming one of those guys at some point. Irv Smith's going to probably be open. And then you said this before when we were talking about Seattle, Noah Fant is always around, and he's a late guy. I mean, you can get him, you know, 16th round of your draft. So there's a couple of sleepers. Do you guys have any sleepers?
Well, I know that I think Hunter Henry's a guy that will Mac Jones will target a decent amount. I also think that Jonnu Smith on the same team, it always gets nerve-wracking that both the Patriots and the Jets are going to have two different guys that it depends on who you like. If you like Uzuma or you like Conklin better, I think right now Conklin looks like the guy. And right now to me, it looks like Hunter Henry. Those would be the two guys. In Charger land, I also think Gerald Everett could be really, really good. Somebody that you'll, you know, with all the other weapons, Everett should be wide open in the middle of that field. Kev, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think anybody mentioned Cameron Brate yet.
No, did not.
No Gronkowski. We know Brady loves his tight ends. So Brate can step up there and be a big-time target for Brady.
No, I think it's a good point.
And I love Geno's. I think he, the last guy he mentioned, I was going to mention him if he didn't, was Irv Smith Jr. Again, coming off injury last year, when you look at Conklin's numbers last year, very good as a tight end in that Minnesota offense. No change in the wide receivers, as we know. So you think Irv Smith can step in and put up the same numbers as Conklin did last year.
And we also all skip Mike Gesicki, who always seems to find a way to play pretty damn well. And, you know, they always try to replace him. And by week five, it's back to Gesicki, and he's really freaking good.
Especially against the Jets.
Oh, yeah, exactly. If I have to talk about Boston Scott running for two touchdowns every time he plays the Giants, I got to talk about Mike Gesicki catching two touchdowns every time he plays the Jets. But we also have to talk a little bit about D and what kind of defenses that we think can stop people. G? Obviously there's the elite D's, but what are the defenses that you would look for? Other defenses that you, if you didn't get the elite guys?
None. I hate team defense. Put another flex in.
I get it. You're not wrong.
I think the New Orleans Saints are going to be one of the top ones. I think Denver is probably going to be up there at some point when you look at the rankings towards the end of the year. Those would be the two I would look at.
You know, it's funny. If I was going to pick a sleeper D, and you'll laugh at this, the two defenses I would look at are both the Dolphins and the Jets. And the reason why is I think that they can both rush the passer. And you get the points for the sack. The Jets have the best defensive line that they've had in forever. The Dolphins have been building that defense up for a long time. Going to be interesting. If Jeff Okuda is healthy, the Lions might be able to cover the pass and get a few picks here or there. But, you know, for the most part, team defense is going to be matchup. Have two on your roster. Look at matchups. Be really smart because, you know, like, listen, like, you love Denver, right? I like Denver, too. I think they're a really good defense. I'm going to the playoffs. Twice a year, they got to play Mahomes. Twice a year, they got to play Las Vegas. Twice a year, they have to play Herbert. That's six of their 17 games. That ain't easy. And you know what? You need to have a second defense just to be safe. Kevin, any thoughts?
Defense. Put in a flex.
Well, you stole my thunder and the Dolphins. And I think playing the Jets and Patriots twice each definitely helps them there. And you look at a team like Baltimore, I think they were ranked 26th last year in fantasy defense and decimated by injuries. And I think they're due for a bounce back this year. And their schedule, you know, does not have out of the division a lot of real big teams to contend with.
I also think Cleveland's D is real good. The thing is Brissett going to keep them off the field enough? That's going to be the big issue because they have talent. You talked about it on our other podcast, Kev, about, you know, having some elite guys that get to the quarterback and a great cornerback in Ward. It's going to be really, really interesting if Jacoby Brissett can keep the chains moving with Nick Chubb and throwing to Amari Cooper and stuff like that.
That's a good point. I think, you know, with the running game, you know, they'll try to play the old, you know, shorten the game, and hopefully the defense is not out there that long and can really dominate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Gee, any final fantasy thoughts?
No, the only thought I'll give you is stay on top of your roster as the season starts progressing. I see a lot of guys in some of these leagues they draft, they put some lineups in, and then they're very reluctant to make a move here and there. Make the moves. Pick up guys off waivers. Try to improve your team as the season goes. Chances are you're going to hit on one of these guys. You may not hit on all of them, but you'll hit on one of those guys. So it's just a way of making sure you're improving your team as everybody else is going to be improving their team.
Kev, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think Gino's established that he does not like defense and special teams in fantasy football.
I don't.
But otherwise, good luck to everybody out there playing. Darren?
Yeah, well, just backstory on Gino. Gino lost a semifinal matchup last year because of defense, because he didn't even play that well, but he got screwed so badly that he's miserable about it. Wasn't in the same league that we're both in. He was in a different league. I think I'd mention it because I like watching you squirm here on the camera, thinking about how you lost the semifinal matchup. And number two, it can screw you really bad depending on the league. Gee, you're going to say something.
Yeah. The problem I have is that over the years, the team defense mechanism that we all used has changed so much to become such a matchup version that having a good defense doesn't mean stuff anymore the way it used to. And throw special teams in there and the rankings go out the window. That's why no one takes a defense until around 14 in a draft. There's no consistency year over year. Teams change defensive players, offensive players every year. You never know what you're going to get on draft day. So that's the reason I'm against team defenses. In all leagues, you know, start individual defensive players if you like. Go to a second flex. Go to a super flex and play second quarterback in that slot if you have to. But anyway.
That ain't going to happen. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the fantasy football preview show. We had a lot of fun doing it. And again, you can download us anywhere you can find podcasting. So, you know, we once again are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren.
I'm Gino.
And I'm Kevin.
And thank you for listening to us. And have a great night. Good night. Yeah.
Good night.
This has been the Sports Kings from Queens.